Random House Audio presents Basketball Jones by E. Lynn Harris. Read for you by Myron Willis. Prologue. Can you keep a secret? Well, I, Aldridge James Richardson, AJ on the short, can. I've been doing it for so long it's become second nature. I'm not a secretive person, either. That came in time. 7 years, to be exact. That's how long I've been with Dre Jones. It's for him, for us, really, that I keep all the secrets that allow us to stay a couple. I don't mean ordinary secrets like, where were you last night? Working late, you say, when in reality you're out with the boys. No, I'm talking career-destroying secrets that can make or break a guy and destroy a family. Stuff that, if word got out, your life is basically over, or in my case, our life would be over. Because Dre and I are in this together. Not that we're in any real danger of having our secrets exposed. We're extremely careful to make certain that never happens. Dre knows I love him with all my heart, and that I'll keep quiet as long as he needs me to. But this hasn't been a cakewalk for me. Truth be told, there are times I think I'll burst from holding so much inside. Watching his back and mine is full-time work, a job made no easier by having to keep everything to myself. If there were just one person I could confide in, then some of the weight would be taken off my shoulders. Only I don't dare breathe a word of our business to anyone, not even my best friend or my mother. Instead, I spend my life dancing around the truth with the grace of a prima ballerina. The things we do in the name of love. I don't want to mislead you. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll do whatever it takes, and have done whatever it takes, to be with my first and only true love. That probably sounds romantic and sentimental, like the kind of melodrama that plays out only in tear-jerkers. But I really do think of us that way. At the same time, I hope that with all the secrets and the truths not getting told, I'm not kidding myself. I sometimes wonder if I've created this romantic image of our relationship to endure the demands our life together requires. It's been so long since we first met that I can't say for sure. Dre, or Drayton, as his parents named him, wasn't always a big basketball star, hiding out from his adoring fans. And I wasn't the boyfriend in the background who pretended to be the star's buddy for their benefit. I fell in love with him in college, back when he didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. That's real talk, people. I'd never before been involved with a DLB, otherwise known as a down-low brother, but knew enough to guess that this probably spelled trouble. At first, I wasn't so willing to compromise myself. I've known I was gay my whole life and didn't go out of my way to hide it. That meant I wasn't prepared to help someone else hide his sexuality. But Dre didn't see it like that. He wasn't gay, he assured me. He pointed out the obviously gay men on campus and would say, "See, that's gay. I'm not like that." Never mind that I was gay, and I wasn't like that either. When it came to discussing who or what Dre was, you didn't ask and he didn't tell. In time, it made less of a difference to me, what he called himself, or what people might make of our relationship if they ever found out about it. We met when I was a senior at Clemson University. I was just a year away from getting my degree in architectural design, and Dre was a 5-star freshman point guard from Vicksburg, Mississippi, struggling with college algebra. I was hired by the athletic department to tutor him. For a semester, our relationship was strictly business, Three nights a week I taught Dre math like he was learning it for the first time. He was an attentive student, but he was more interested in learning what he needed to know about managing his money once he went professional. And there was no doubt in his mind that he would, after a year of college basketball. Let me say right here that Dre was drop-dead gorgeous. I don't mean run-of-the-mill handsome, but a real knockout for a man. With graham cracker skin, bow lips, and thick lashes that curled at the ends, he had me ready to lie down at his feet from the word go. The only thing that stood in the way, apart from his being straight and off-limits, was that Dre thought he was slick. He believed there was no one he could not charm or any situation he could not talk himself out of. And at first, that ego turned me off. I discovered just how smooth he thought he was when he used a little innocent flirting to try to persuade me to sign in and take a test for him. You know I fought like hell not to fall for his come-on. Although he had no way of knowing it, he had me in his grip so badly that I'd have done backflips over a bed of rocks if he'd asked. But I came to my senses and told him flat out that there was no way I was going to be part of his scheme, adding that he'd better not try talking some silly girl into taking the test for him, because if he did, I'd turn them both in. I took the honor code seriously. It took my threat to cut through that slick veneer. For the first time, Dre understood that I wasn't just another hustle, but someone who took pride in his work. I could see that he was surprised and flattered that his passing the course actually mattered to me. Well, he jumped into his studies with the determination of a star athlete. He not only blocked out time on weekends to devote to algebra, he took the additional step of buying flashcards to improve his retention. He couldn't wait to impress me with the latest lesson he'd learned. Naturally, I had no trouble lavishing him with attention, which he ate up as if he'd never been praised for his intellect. This new spirit touched me, and I found it harder than ever not to fall for him. I had a history of falling for straight guys, especially athletes, so I reminded myself that these feelings led nowhere but heartache. Besides, with final exams nearing, it was only a matter of days before my job with him was over, and we'd part for good. In the meantime, I immersed myself in my own studies to put him out of my head. As it happened, things weren't that simple. Once classes let out for Christmas break, I flew home to North Carolina to visit my family and to forget about Dre. I managed to do that for the most part, spending my days shopping with my little sister and enjoying my mother's incredible home cooking. But I couldn't leave him behind entirely. A television character in a syndicated sitcom that ran nightly looked a lot like Dre, and I was reminded of him every time the actor appeared. His character's signature line was, "Do your thing, player." And each time this was said, he looked into the camera as if speaking directly to me. I grabbed a book and spent the rest of the week avoiding TV during that particular half hour. My first night back in my studio apartment, there was a knock at the door. The clock said it was 10:30, so I thought it had to be the crabby engineering student next door who sometimes complained when my music was a bit loud. There wasn't any music playing, however, so I couldn't imagine what his problem was this time. I opened the door, and if it had been my own father, I wouldn't have been more surprised. There stood Dre, holding out a slip of paper in one hand and a paper bag in the other. He wore a very sexy gap-toothed grin that practically made me melt right there in the doorway. Startled to see him so unexpectedly and thrilled to find him at my apartment, I asked with a laugh of disbelief what he was doing there. He handed me the slip and with a playful slap on my shoulder said, "Take a look, boy." It was his grade card, with a big letter B circled in blue ink. "Dre, you passed."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?